Good morning. Are you alive this morning? Are you awake? Come on. All right. It's good to be with you once again today. Glad to see you. It's a beautiful Lord's Day, isn't it? Although somebody left the refrigerator door open, I think. It's a little cool out, but that's okay. This is spring in Kentucky. What do you expect? But it is a blessing to be with you, and I'm really excited for you. I heard the news last Sunday that you called a new pastor, and he'll be here soon. So I'm really excited for you and praying for you in this transition, and God will be honored in that. And so what a blessing to have. Also, I'm excited to hear the news. Many of you were talking about the towels from this association that you're bringing for our shower unit. And my wife and I went down to Hoptown to the WMU annual meeting, and we were there, had the shower unit on display there, and we hauled back a bunch of towels from there. And I think we counted roughly 200, little more, towel sets that we received. And we had a team last Wednesday go down and kind of process those, get those ready. And then I hear there's probably close to that many more coming from here. Maybe more than that. Huh? So we're excited about it. We are very grateful. Thank you for doing that and helping us with that. We have several shower units that we need to get stocked and ready to roll for the summer. And that's going to be a huge, huge blessing for us as we get those ready to roll. We have two brand new units that have not been used yet, but I know will be this summer. And so that will go a long way in getting those ready to get on the field to serve some of our mission teams and disaster relief teams as well. We had our disaster relief training Friday and Saturday. I'm still recovering from that. We had a big group in Richmond Friday and Saturday, probably 150, 160, maybe a few more. On Saturday, doing some training, and it was a great, great time. So as we're getting ready to go and help those in crisis. So I know many of you are part of that, and I know if you're not part of it, I know you're praying for us and very supportive of it. I'm grateful for this church and this association and their support for that. So thank you for all that you're doing. One of the exciting things, too, you'll hear about this, is there's going to be a Kentucky Today article, I think, come out this week on this. The Kentucky Baptist Foundation, they gave us a large grant this last couple of months, and for the purchase of a new piece of equipment. I didn't bring a picture with me. I have it on my phone if you want to see it, but it's a compact wheel loader, articulating compact wheel loader. We have a small version of that. We were getting the big brother of that one, and so they've helped us to purchase that. We picked it up Thursday morning. And it's still shiny and brand new, not even been used yet. So we're grateful for our Kentucky Baptist Foundation and the resources that they help us provide, that we can do our work much safer and more effective. So we're so blessed as Kentucky Baptist in the support and the resources that we have to help those in need and open the doors of that. We've got had some small tornadoes and responses, as you know, throughout Kentucky. We've got a team headed to Corbin tomorrow. We've got a single man team taking some equipment to Ohio this week. We've had teams all along the Ohio River the last few weeks, Prospect, Minerva, Ashland, a couple other places, and got another one going to the Lexington area. So we're kind of a lot of spots right now. So pray for our teams and that the doors will open. We've had a couple of opportunities for some gospel conversations. So we're planting seeds that the world may know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. That's what he's called us to do. But I'm excited to come and share with you again from the Word of God. I would invite you to take your copy of God's Word. I often say, grab your hymn book, the book that's about him, right? So grab your Bible and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 5, be there. And this morning's message is a little different than I normally preach. And with your church kind of in a transition period, and as I served as a former pastor for 23 years in Missouri before God brought me to Kentucky, there's some things maybe that I can share with you from my heart, from my experiences, from what I've learned over the years serving as a pastor. As you are looking forward to your new pastor coming here in just a few weeks and to leading your church. And so I just want to share a few things with you this morning. I have several movies. Are you anybody here movie buffs? I wouldn't call myself a movie buff, but I do have some favorite movies. Probably I lean more toward the action type movies, but Westerns are probably my favorite. Anybody with me? My wife rolls her eyes every time I tell her I want to watch another Western, and she just, that's not her thing, but I like Westerns. In fact, if Tom Selleck is in a Western, that's probably one of my favorites, or most of John Wayne's, some others that I have. So I have several Westerns that I enjoy. One of those, though, is unusual, and this is going to date myself a little bit. Well, one of my favorite movies is Support Your Local Sheriff with James Garner. Has anyone seen Support Your Local Sheriff? If you have not seen that movie, you need to watch it. It's an older movie, I know that, but it's a good movie, a lot of humor in it. But it's about a town that is growing quickly because of the gold rush. And this gold rush, people are coming, and the law is just not there. If they get a sheriff, they run him off. They've got a family that tries to rule the whole town, and they're very lawless. But this gold rush is bringing people from all over, and there's no way that they can keep a sheriff. They can't keep law in order. It's a very chaotic and crime-ridden place. Then comes Jason McCullough, played by James Garner, and he comes to town. And he seeks to restore order. The jail that they have just built has no bars on it. They hadn't, as they say in the movie, it ain't a rove yet. And so the waiting on the bars to get there. So how do you do this with a jailhouse with no bars? But here's what he does. He begins to make some changes that to the town folk, especially to the family that tries to run the town and control the town, is not the most popular with the people. But to us, the viewer, as we're watching what's going on screen, we know that what he is wanting to do is good for the town. And so we know he's headed the right, it's the best decisions, the right direction, but it's making some people in the town a little uneasy and a little uncomfortable. It's called Support Your Local Sheriff. I want to talk to you this morning about Support Your Local Pastor. With the same ideas as God leads this man, and I believe that God laid upon his heart to seek God's direction, and God led him to Greensburg Baptist. You have been seeking a pastor, and so you've been seeking God's will, have you not? If you're not seeking God's will, you're in trouble to begin with, but I believe that you are. Seeking God's will for God's man, for your church. And as he is seeking God's will in his life, as you are seeking God's will in the life of this church and who would lead this church, God in his way and his timing, he brings those two together and he reveals to each of you that this is where God is leading and where God wants this man planted to serve this congregation. But the reality is, as he comes, as he begins to get to know you and this community, as he begins to get his feet on the ground somewhat, and it will take a little time. And as God begins to give him a vision in his own heart, in his own mind, for this church to lead you, and in this community, to reach this community and the surrounding areas, there may be some changes that he may decide under the leading of the Holy Spirit to make some changes. Some of those will be necessary, and some of those may be visionary. But know this, some of those may make some uncomfortable. But if God is leading in that, if God is giving him the vision and he is leading according to how God is leading him in that, it is good for his church. Amen? We need to see and look at it that way. Sometimes the worst saying any church can ever say is, well, we've never done it that way before. I've been in some of those churches where that's obvious. Some of those changes need to be made. And so it's very, very difficult sometimes to make those, but following God's leading is always the best and always good. What I have discovered also is that as I look through Scripture and I see where God's vision comes to the people, he always places that vision within the heart and mind of his appointed leader. And he gives that man, burns that vision upon his heart, and then he, as the messenger of God, communicates that to the people. That's the kind of vision that I would want to follow, is someone who is seeking after God, receives the vision from God, and wants to lead the church. I will follow that. So I would encourage you to see that his, if he is God's appointed man for this church, follow his leading as he is under the leading of the Holy Spirit. So I'm excited for your church and for your new pastor who will be here very soon. As God's appointed man to come and lead this church. He's got a big undertaking, a lot to learn, a lot to do, a lot to experience, many things. But as a former pastor of 23 years in two different churches, I have learned a lot, I've experienced a lot. And I want to just share from my heart a little bit some words to encourage you and to remind you as your new pastor prepares to come and as you prepare to receive him. And if I may, and so I want to just share from the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 5. As you look at verse number 17, just a couple of verses here, but there's a whole section here. We're not going to go through the whole section, but I want to look at just a couple of verses here concerning the pastors, concerning the elders, depending on how your translation reads. So the elders rule well, verse 17. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially to those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Father, I pray this morning that you'll speak to our hearts. Father, that we'll not have our own mind and our own ideas and our own thoughts, but Lord, that we would open our heart to listen to you. And may you speak to our heart where we stand, where we are in our own walk and spiritual life. May we hear a word from you to encourage us, to strengthen us, to shape us, to teach us, and that we may be more like you. So, Father, speak from your word. Speak to us through this power of your Spirit. And, Lord, just help me to be out of your way. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. Some things I want to share with you this morning regarding serving as a pastor. The things that we need to be reminded of that sometimes I think is easy to forget, sometimes easy to overlook, or sometimes easy that we expect more of our pastor than is even realistic. And so I just want to share a few things with you this morning. First of all, I want to remind you that your pastor is human. Your pastor is human. Just like you and I, he is human. He's on a different call. I mean, God has placed a call upon his life. And it's not an easy call to surrender to, I can promise you that. I argued with God when he placed that call upon my life. Have you ever argued with God? When you argue with God, who wins? God will, every time. And it will either be an easy road or a difficult road, but God will win. You may come to where you realize, okay, God is calling me, I'm going to surrender that and all is well. Or you may argue with God and defy God, run from God, try to tell God how wrong he is. But eventually he will win, won't he? And we've all been there, we know what that's like. But I want to encourage you that this man of God that has surrendered his life to ministry, to the call of God upon his life, is a worthy calling, but it is a difficult calling and can be. Because we deal with people. I had a student ask me one time, hey, pastor, I'm doing a report at my school on different vocations, and you as a pastor, he said, what is the best thing about your job as being a pastor? What is the most wonderful thing? And I said to him, I said, son, that's easy. It's the people. It is the people. And then he asked this question. He said, well, it's the hardest thing about your job. I said, well, that's easy. It's the people. We can be difficult, can't we? But it's almost like our children. Sometimes our children are our greatest frustration, but they're also our greatest blessing, aren't they? And so and there's a reason I think God calls us sheep, because sometimes we can be difficult, but yet people can be a blessing. But I want to remind you that your pastor is human. And remember that he has his failures. He is not a perfect man. He is not a perfect man. Here you have had a pastor search team, have you not? Is your pastor search team perfect? Absolutely not. So you have a search team who is fallible and imperfect. You're seeking a man to be your pastor who is also fallible and imperfect, to lead this congregation who is also fallible and imperfect. Now you put all those three pieces together, and that doesn't make perfection, does it? Means we're all messed up trying to do good, isn't it? And so we're all trying to work together. You will mess up. He will mess up. You will mess up together. But here's the reality. If you keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, if you keep your knees at the foot of the cross, and you hold the banner of the cross high, you will be okay and God will bless you. Think about this for a moment. At what times in your life have you grown the most in your spiritual journey? When you've gone through times of difficulty or you've gone through times of blessing? I would say most of the time through times of difficulty. Some of those difficult times are out of our control. Maybe health issues, financial crisis, or what have you. Sometimes those crises that we face come from our own stupidity, don't they? Our own poor decisions, our own defiance, our own sin, our own humanity. And we all wrestle with those things. We all do. How you react to those failures is crucial. But you're all going to mess up. We're all going to be doing that. I've often said you're responsible for your actions, but you're also responsible for your reactions. How you react in situations that may not always go your way. And how you react to those failures is crucial to your witness to this world. The world is watching. So I would encourage you, give him room to fail. Give him room to mess up. But support him, encourage him, pray for him, but also pray with him. I can't tell you how many times over my ministry, it's been interesting because I think it's just a God thing. You know how life gets sometimes? It gets crazy. You've had a crazy, busy day, lots going on, lots going through your mind. It's getting stressful, getting hectic. Everyone has those times. There have been a few times I've had people either send me a text or give me a phone call and let me know they're praying for me at those crucial moments. Had someone one time, actually I've had this more than once, just pick up the phone and say, "Hey, Brother Ron, are you doing okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." He said, "I want to pray for you." And he launches into a prayer. He prays for me. He says amen, hangs up the phone. That's all he wanted, was to pray for me. And I can tell you what a blessing that is. I would encourage you to do the same with your pastors, to support him, love him. I promise you this, he will disappoint you at times. Why? Because he's human. He is. However, do not allow your disappointment to turn into disgruntlement. Be careful of that. Have an honest conversation. If there's a disagreement, have an honest conversation. But pray for him and pray with him. Because what I've learned is that when you pray together, God solves a lot of the problems. Have you noticed that? And sometimes the problems aren't always with the other person. Sometimes the problem is your own heart, misunderstanding and so forth. But so know that he has his failures. But he also has fatigue. He gets tired. Gets exhausted. He gets physically, emotionally tired. Jesus did, didn't he? There were times that Jesus had to get away to rest. And there's times your pastor will be tired, not of ministry, but he's tired in ministry. And so know that there are times, because sometimes it's long hours, because the ministry needs never cease. There have been many times I've had a long day, been to the office all day, been to visits, been to the hospital, been here, been to a meeting, doing this, and then have church that night, and we have a meeting afterwards, a committee meeting, and you know, sometimes committee meetings go longer than they need to. Anybody, can I get an amen on that one? And so then we start chasing rabbits, you know, and then the meeting's over and it's late and you're ready to go home. And then you get ready to leave and everybody's gone. And then the whole building, all the lights are on and the doors are unlocked. And you have to walk the building and make sure everything's locked up. And you're already tired. Late nights. So just be aware of those things. He labors over messages as he prepares them. He's always learning, always growing himself, and he labors over those messages to hear the word from God that he can prepare that to bring to you. Someone once said, too, that a 30-minute sermon is compared to an 8-hour workday and the emotion of bringing that message. And I think it's very true. So he gets tired. Protect him. You don't want him to burn out. I've been there. But don't allow him to get to that point. Take care of him. But he also has frustrations. Do you ever get frustrated? Do you? Gets frustrated sometimes just at life in general, sometimes at people, the ones you love, circumstances of life, things out of your control. Of course, if your pastor is human, he will too. But I can promise you this, that if your pastor is worth his salt at all, and I believe that he is, know this, Your pastor really, really, really wants the very, very best for you in this church. There's no question in my mind. He really wants the very best for you in this church. He'll have his frustrations, just like you and I. And one of those frustrations is when he preaches and teaches, and he sees little response. He sees little spiritual growth because he wants so much more for you individually and for this church as a whole. He wants so much more. And there'll be times he'll question, am I making a difference? Is it impacting the hearts of the people? I'll never forget one Sunday morning. It was Easter Sunday morning, matter of fact. Our choir, we had a choir at the time, did a cantata. Remember the cantata days? And they sang a cantata, and I'm going to be honest. My wife was in the choir, and I could see the look on her face that she was just mad over the whole thing. And you think, well, why are you mad at her? Because the sound was off. They couldn't hear the music, so the voices were off. I mean, I'll be honest with you, it really wasn't very good. I'll just be honest with you. But it wasn't because they were a bad choir. It was just everything, the technology, the sound. You've seen those days where it's just all messed up. Just nothing works. And so I could tell she was not happy, and I could see some frustration there. But they did as good a job as they could that day. So I get up and I give, and I know this is hard for some of you to believe for a preacher, I give a 5-minute gospel presentation, and I extended an invitation. And nobody comes. Nobody responds. I didn't know what to expect. I'm about ready to close the invitation. And on the very back row, center aisle, Eugene is sitting back there. Eugene is a welder by trade. Eugene wears the same kind of clothes every day. It's his welding clothes. And if you've ever been around a welder, they have holes all over their clothes from the welding sparks. He had sweatpants on. He had flip-flops on, and he had an old ratty T-shirt and it all had welding holes on it. That's just what he had. That's who he was. Eugene comes walking up that aisle, and I didn't know what to expect. Here's what Eugene said. He said, Pastor, he said, breaks my heart to hear you preach your heart out every week and nobody responds. I'm coming, and I'm going to pray that somebody will get saved today. And he knelt down on the front pew, and he began to pray. 12 people made a decision for Christ that day. We never thought the invitation was going to end. We got to the family Easter lunch. You know how that goes at Easter? And man, they are ragging on me. Well, it's about time you get here. You know what I got to do? We had 12 people give their heart to Christ today. I'm staying at church. That kind of shut them down, but you know. Praise God for that, isn't it? But I can tell you this, it'll bless your heart when he sees life change and you express to him the difference he's making in your life personally. And he will love that. It will encourage him. Your pastor is human. Secondly, your pastor is hindered. He's hindered. Why is he hindered? Because your pastor will have rivals. If you've got a man who is trying to proclaim and preach the name of Jesus Christ and spread the gospel, I guarantee you there's an adversary seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy the work and the message that your pastor is trying to preach. I promise you. You know that. You've been there. You've experienced that. But he's trying that. The Bible talks about that. So remember, there's a rival. Before he ever sets foot in Greensburg, there's an enemy ready to tear down the ministry that he's coming here to establish among you and to lead this church. So you need to be praying now for the protection of the Holy Spirit to protect your pastor, to protect your church, so that the light of the gospel will be seen. We have become a society, especially with the introduction of social media, email, and texting, to where it's almost faceless. And so people will say things about you. They will say things about the church. They will say things that aren't even true. Because we're a society who we'd rather talk about someone rather than talk to someone. And the lies and the misinterpretations, the misrepresentations are easy to do when there's a faceless medium where you can put that word out. I've been accused of things that I have no control over, that not even happen. I was accused one time. I was accused of splitting another church in town that I've never attended. How does that happen? We had a break-in at our church one day where they stole several things, but one of the things they stole was the computer off my desk. And, of course, that just frustrated me because all my work was there and on that computer. And they stole it. We didn't know who it was. We didn't find it, ever find it. But here was the rumor around town. The pastor probably broke in and stole his own computer because there's probably stuff on that computer that he wanted to get access to. I'm thinking, it's my computer. I already have access to it. Some crazy things like that were happening. And that's just the evil one trying to destroy. Be careful. Verse number 19 in the chapter 5 we just read, he says, do not receive an accusation against an elder, pastor, except on the basis of multiple witnesses. So be careful of the rumors that are there. We have this understanding that if there's smoke, there's fire. Smoke is the rumors created by people, and if you create enough smoke, then there must be fire. And I know sometimes that can be true, but be careful that you not just believe the rumors that are out there. Because the evil one is seeking to destroy God's man. I've often said, believe what you know about someone, not what you hear about them. Do you hear me? Believe what you know about them, not what you hear about them. He has rivals, but he also has rebukes. Sometimes we misunderstand what we read or hear or even share. Have you ever done that? Have you ever misunderstood someone? Have you ever been misunderstood? Amen? Have you ever read something that you misunderstood? Or taken it a different way than its intention? Have you ever done that? I was in, I left work one day. And it was my lunch break. I left work and went to a restaurant. Before I left the restaurant, I finished my meal. Before I went back to work, I went to the restroom. And so as I'm in there, I'm getting ready to wash my hands. And I walk up and on the mirror, you've seen this sign. You've seen it there. It says, employees must wash hands before returning to work. I stood there and looked at that sign. I read it again. Employees must wash hands before returning to work. I didn't know what to do. I waited 30 minutes and not one employee came to wash my hands. Not one. I'm not sure that's what the sign meant, do you? Sometimes the simplest statements, the simplest conversations, we take the wrong way. Be slow to anger. Be slow to take offense. And know that the heart of your pastor always wants to do right. But sometimes he can be misunderstood. So be careful. Instead of a culture of common good, it seems like we've become a culture of constant complaint. Have you noticed that? Seems like the world complains about everything. Near our home, we live in the Taylorsville area. Near our home is on my way to work. There's a section that they have completely redone built a new bridge and completely redone. And they did the temporary paving because it was over the winter months. They can't do the final paving, and so it's kind of rough and bumpy. And on social media, on our community page, everybody's complaining about how rough this road is. When are they going to repave this? I mean, complain, 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 complain. So finally, it gets warm enough weather. Now they're putting the top coat on it so it's going to be smooth and everybody's going to enjoy it. You know what everybody's doing now on social media? Complaining now because the construction's going on and they can't get through. So now they're just complaining. It's like, just give them a few days and it'll be over and it'll be wonderful. But yet they're complaining about it's holding them up to get through. What do you expect, people? It seems as though I've often said, if we would witness as much as we complain, we would lead the world to Christ, would we not? I said this to my church one day when I made that statement to them when I was preaching. I said, a lot of times people go home and at the dinner table they start complaining about it was too hot at church or too cold or too this and start complaining. I said, if somebody at your dinner table today at lunch starts complaining, you have my permission to flip mashed potatoes at them. I had one kid, I guess, tried to do that and he got in trouble. And I got blamed for it, but that's okay. So it's all good. But he has rebukes, but he also has restrictions. Your pastor is not an expert in all things. Sometimes I can say this with experience. Sometimes we feel as though we must be experts in all fields. And we know our limitations. He is restricted by his own limitations. He isn't restricted by his own abilities, his own skills, his own training, his own education. There are limitations to him. And be gracious to him. And today it seems as though we deal with more than we've ever had to deal with before. With all the social issues that are going on, the sexual misconduct and security issues that we're doing. And I know we have issues in our own convention. And some of those are the ones that get the headlines. But I can promise you, Dr. Gray made this statement, our executive director, he made this statement. He said, sometimes we focus on the 2% that's wrong in our convention rather than celebrate the 98% that's good. There is a lot of good ministry and impact happening throughout our Southern Baptist Convention. I promise you that. You'll hear the things that make the news. But know that there's so much good going on in our convention. The pandemic was awful on pastors. We couldn't make the right decision to please anyone. The legal and the liability issues that we face, and the social injustice and political issues, and it's even invading the church, and on it goes. The marital crisis, the financial crisis, the counseling that we do. And we're not experts at any of it, to be honest with you. But we do have the Word of God, and we turn to the Word of God to lead people. So there are limitations and restrictions that he has. Be sensitive to that. Thirdly, I want to share that your pastor hurts. He's human, and he hurts. He has his own disappointments. He has disappointments at his own limitations, at his own failures, and yes, even at his own bad sermons. I've preached some sermons that I was begging to get out of. I was the one preaching them. Sometimes it happens. Disappointments in decisions or direction. He has his own discouragements. I remember one person told me after a Sunday morning message, he came to me through the line and he said this to me. He said, Pastor, you should never have any stress in your life at all. Well, there's a new one. He was serious about this. He said, you should never have any stress. I said, oh, why is that? He said, if you really trusted God in everything like you preach, and if you really relied upon the Holy Spirit to guide you, then you would never stress over anything at all. It almost came out of my mouth, well, if it wasn't for people like you, I wouldn't have stress. But I didn't. But I can tell you this, just from life in general, from personal crisis, to family crisis, to health crisis, even in his own personal life is there. But I can tell you this, he will love you. You will become his friends. He will treat you like family, and then when you hurt, he hurts. One of the things that many people don't realize, too, is that when a church family passes away, he's not burying a church member. He's burying family. He hurts, too. When the diagnosis of terminal cancer comes to one of you or something, or a tragedy, he hurts with you. I can promise you that. When people leave the church or pass away or have crisis in their own families, he will hurt with you. He will get discouraged at times. Be sensitive. He has disagreements. You'll disagree with him. He'll disagree with you. Is it okay to disagree? It is okay to disagree. But how you handle that, you will disagree with him. You will not always agree. My wife and I disagree at times, and she's always right. But because we disagree doesn't mean I don't love her anymore. It doesn't mean I'm going to leave her. It doesn't mean I'm not going to speak to her anymore. It just simply means we disagree and let's work through it. We're family. We're family. Do not ever allow your disagreement to turn into division. Be careful with that. I've had many people say to me, there's a lot of unhappy people in the church, Pastor. You need to be careful. Really? A lot of unhappy people? Unhappy about what? Well, you know, they're talking about this. And as I begin to investigate, most of the time when I begin to investigate, it's usually the family around the dinner table, and there's just a couple of them. Turns out to be one or two people that had a voice. Be careful, that's not you. Be careful. Know that your pastor wants the very best for this church. Just talk to him. Love him. Take him to lunch. And I'm going to say this again, pray with him. Pray with him. Pray with him. And encourage him. It's okay to disagree on some things. Sometimes the things we disagree on doesn't really matter one way or the other that impact. It's just we disagree. Sometimes in our disagreement, we come up with a better solution, though, don't we? And that works much better. So give him some grace. But then I want to say one other thing. Your pastor is honored. He's honored. Because as the scripture tells us, it is a worthy calling. Think about this. Not everybody's called to serve in ministry. Well, let me back that up. We are all called to serve in ministry, but not everyone's called to serve as a pastor. And it's a worthy calling. 1 Timothy 3:1 says it's a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it's a fine work he desires to do. A pastor who is called by God, it is an honor to serve the Lord God as well as his church. Because, first of all, there's his Christ, the greatest blessing I ever received. And that the blessings that I've experienced is because I've said yes to God. I've often thought back over my ministry, what if I said no and rebelled against God to his call upon my life? What are the things I would have missed? The opportunities I had to lead people to Christ. The opportunities I've had to share the gospel. The opportunities I've seen God just do. And all you can say is, God did that. How God has overwhelmed so many things, and what a blessing it's been to be part of God's working in my life because I said yes. But then it's an honor to serve a congregation that he gives you. It'll be an honor to your pastor to serve you. Some of his greatest experiences that we've had have been with people. Here's what I've learned. God, by his very voice, am I right? Can speak anything. Am I right? And it would happen. If it is his word, it will happen. But here's how God has chosen. He's chosen to work through his people. He's chosen to work through you to accomplish his purpose. The God of this universe has called this man to be your pastor. He called him to minister, but he's also called him to be your pastor. And he's calling you to be his church. And let's be faithful, because it's a worthy calling. And it's a worthwhile commitment. I look at our world today, and the things that our world gets excited about. Who won the Super Bowl 3 years ago? You remember? Who won the World Series last year? Anybody remember? There's a lot of stuff that we celebrate and do that's so temporal. We don't even remember, and it really doesn't matter. But there is one thing that matters, is our God and our Savior. And if the world knows him, he has appointed you, this church, to be the shining light of the gospel to this community and to the world. Will we be faithful in that? Following the leading of your pastor and the leading of the Holy Spirit to go ye into all the world to make the message of the gospel known. It first begins in your heart. Psalmist said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Where is the joy gone in the excitement of our salvation that we don't want to tell people about Jesus anymore? We've got to get on board with that, because the commitment of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the only thing that matters. And when the end comes, what's going to matter? We're going to stand before God. And so will everybody else. Oh, but I got to do this in life. I got to celebrate. All those celebrations are fine. But the ultimate celebration is, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you placed your faith in him? asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets. The Old Testament, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. We all struggle with the ten. Jesus broke it down to two, and we still struggle, don't we? Which is two commandments. I think it's time we get a commitment to our Lord and our Savior and to His church and to fulfill the commission that He has placed upon us. Sometimes we worry so much about the speck in our brother's eye that we miss the log in our own. As He's telling us here, let them rule well who are over you. Honor your pastor. And one of the greatest ways you can show honor to your pastor to live for Jesus. Nothing blesses my heart more than seeing people growing in Christ. I love seeing people come to Christ, don't you? Giving their life to Christ. But just as much as I love seeing people giving their life to Christ, I love seeing Christians grow in their faith and come to me and say, hey, Pastor, guess what I learned this week? And to help them grow in their faith. I want to encourage you, if you're here today and you've never placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what are you waiting for? It's the greatest change in your life. If you're here today and your spiritual life has gone stagnant and stale and you've gotten very complacent, hey, fix it. Come before the Lord, confess that, repent of that, and say, I want to be on fire for the Lord. And get into the Word of God. It will ignite you. And get out into the world and tell others. Love on other people. Do the work of ministry that He's called you to do. And be praying for your pastor who's coming very, very soon. Hold him up. Not on a pedestal, but hold him up before the Lord God in prayer. And you support him and love him and encourage him. And God will honor you and bless you. I believe God has great things in store for this church. I do. If you'll stay on your knees and keep your eyes on Jesus and let Him be the author and the vision for this church. Amen? This morning we're going to extend an invitation to extend an opportunity for you. If you've never placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to ask you to come and just say, I want to know Jesus. We'll help you do that. Maybe you need to just come to the altar and just say, Lord, I want my heart to be right and one before you. But to prepare my heart to help reach this community and this world for Christ. Whatever you're calling, whatever you're leading to do, I pray that we'll do now and let God be Lord here. Father in heaven, thank you for your love. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for empowering us. Thank you for the pastor that you've called to this church. He'll be here soon. We're grateful for that. But Father, help us to be the people you need us to be to honor you. Father, I pray if there's someone here today who's never placed their faith in you, have been wrestling with that decision, I pray, Lord, that today would be the day of salvation, that they would say, yes, I want Jesus in my life. Maybe there's some here today that just need to come and say, Lord, I've been complacent in my faith. I've been slacking in my Bible reading and Bible study. I haven't been walking with you as I ought. And Lord, I want to just confess that before you today. Lord, renew a right spirit in me that I may honor you in my life and in this church. Maybe there's some that just want to come and pray for this church and pray for the new pastor that's coming. Father, there's so many decisions and pieces are got to happen between now and then. I pray, Lord, that we can just pray for him, that those pieces will fall in place. Safety will be as he travels, as he comes, as he prepares. And Father, through it all, may your name be glorified. May we see you in the midst of all of this. May our focus be upon you and not upon circumstance around us. So, Father, you speak. You have your way this morning at this time of invitation. May we do what you're calling and leading us to do in our heart right now. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, we pray.